Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 235 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. India makes it 5 wins out of 5 at the ICC Men's ODI World Cup. A fascinating tussle between the two teams, India and New Zealand, at the top of the table was settled by Chase Master Kohli, who marshalled his team to the target of 274 to win in a match that had earlier been, halted by a descending fog in Dharamshala. In this episode, we discuss all the major takeaways and observations from this thrilling encounter. On the podcast today, joining us for this discussion, we have Anurag Banerjee. He is the creator of the Cool Cats Sportscast, a place where he creates stories at the intersection of sports and society. The other buzzwords in his life are history, martial arts, and pizzas, roughly in that order. Without further ado, let's get started. Hi, Anurag. Welcome to Never on the Back Foot podcast. Now, this was again a collaboration that was waiting to happen. And I'm so glad that, we are finally doing this.
Thank you so much, Neha, for having me on this beautiful pod. And I always felt like the first time when I got to know that you are creating something like this. And even the name is quite interesting of the pod, Never on the Back Foot. And plus this commitment, like you're doing it for past 3 years, and like the topics are super interesting, right? Like focusing on women's cricket, focusing on aspects of cricket which the traditional media might not be focusing that much on. So that in itself is interesting. Plus the World Cup season and everything. So more than happy to be here.
Right, and even the topic, that we will be uncovering today is of the India versus New Zealand match, which really caught our attention, right? Because this was a match that all of us were looking forward to, because both the teams were coming in with superb form. Now, India made it 5 wins out of 5, and so much to be proud of as well. So what are your first thoughts to kickstart our discussion?
So, right now, India is playing, they are, dominating on multiple fronts. As a team, if you look the way India is playing, all their 5 matches have been different. And there have been different people who have stepped up. Obviously, apart from the super human Virat Kohli, he clicks on every match. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, there are multiple people who have stepped up. There are multiple players who have contributed in very, very important moments, and they have basically upped their game. Mm-hmm. So, and if I talk about this game in particular, India versus New Zealand. So, I was just watching that match and I was just thinking, the body language of our players, all the players, all the 11 players, even us as fans, I think New Zealand is one team that has given us problems consistently in all the ICC tournaments, right? Like the 2019 World Cup, the 2021 the T20 World Cup, then the Test Championship. So this is one team, I think all our players must be having in their radar. This is the day we have to perform. So I felt there was an additional chip on our shoulders. All the players, right from the word go, we were on point. And the only first thoughts that came to me was revenge is the best dish which is served cold. it was Dharamshala, so it was cold. And the way we coolly completed that match, kudos to our team. This is one of the sweetest wins. Australia, Pakistan, all those games were tough. But I think this game had a different flavor to it because, New Zealand has also won all their matches leading up to this match. Mm-hmm. And they have performed really well against India. And they also have some really good match winners in good form and rhythm. So there are a lot of things which I think were tested for both the sides. And India convincingly answered all the questions. So those were my first, 1,000 thoughts covered under first thought.
Right. I mean, now this was certainly a very sweet win, as you rightly pointed out, because New Zealand has given us a lot of grief in ICC tournaments. So this certainly felt very special in that sense. Now, even leading up to this match, India was obviously missing Hardik Pandya, but India made some interesting changes, right? You had Mohammad Shami who was coming in, you had Surya Kumar Yadav who was slotted in as well. So what are your thoughts on those changes that India made and proactive?
I definitely, I mean, like a player like Hardik Pandya is like, he's like the balance of the team. I mean, like he can bowl really well. And like in this tournament, Hardik Pandya was clocking 140 kilometers per hour and above. So he was in very good rhythm and good form. And he was giving, and like Hardik Pandya is a player, I feel like he has that knack of performing on big moments, on the bigger stages. With the ball, with bat, with fielding, he can create, make things happen in crunch situations. So to miss out on a player like Hardik Pandya, I mean, like it's very tough. And like from a change standpoint, I feel that, I mean, like India did the right thing, like because they knew that against a team like New Zealand, you have to have depth in the batting because it's going to be a very tough contest. So for that, you need that batting depth. And plus, like if you see, I think the Indian think tank's strategy is to chase. So when you chase, you need that depth till sixth or seventh, like proper batsmen. And with Surya Kumar Yadav, we had that opportunity. And interestingly, I mean, like I also felt like Shami also deserved a chance because he has not been given a single like playing 11 in the first four matches. So we needed a bowler also. And more than that, I feel Shami's inclusion has also happened because of Dharamshala. I mean, like the pitch definitely has a lot more juice for pacers. And I mean, like, I think the think tank got it really right.
Definitely. And I think these changes really augured well for India in the long run as well. And let's see, you know, how this pans out for the rest of the tournament. Now, you know, focusing on this match again, now India won the toss and they decided to bowl first. So do you think this was a good decision considering the pitch and the conditions in general?
I think the batting, the think tank of Indian team right now, I think they have a very set strategy which has been working for them in this tournament. So like it's more of like chasing, and like they have been doing really well in all our matches leading up to this one. And I think we have bagged it. So I felt like it's a good decision to chase. Plus also I feel like we have two spinners also, right? Like Ravindra Jadeja. And so from that lens also, I feel that like there could be a factor of due which could have come in. So from that lens also, I felt like it's a good move for India to chase, especially in a pitch like Dharamshala, in a day-night encounter.
Definitely. And now even when you look at the first 10 overs, right, India managed to get rid of the dangerous openers. So do you think that was like a big momentum shift that really helped India through the match as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like, I felt like every time Mohammad Shami was bowling, like he had a different kind of fire in his belly. I mean, like, this is the first time he's playing in this tournament. It's a World Cup. And that too against New Zealand. And like Mohammad Shami has been part of all the previous World Cup encounters in the recent past against New Zealand. So I think there was a lot of pent-up emotion. And every time, like right from the word go, he was on point. Like both from his line, length, the fitness. I mean, like I felt so happy looking at the fitness of our entire team and pacers in particular. Like even if you look at like for Jasprit Bumrah, I mean, like any word if you say, would be less, like the kind of form, the line, the length, the like we were all a bit tentative, right? Like he's coming from a long injury layoff and how would his body recover? Will he be able to sustain through 50 overs ka format? But I think Bumrah was spectacular right from the word go in the tournament and even in this match. But I think Shami for me, I mean like because it's very tough for players, right? Like one is the mental aspect of it. Like you are part of the squad, but you're not given the playing 11. So one is that. But secondly, the other aspect is like, this is the first time you are testing your body in a World Cup match, right? For this format. in this tournament. So from that lens also, I think he must have done really good work in the nets. His mental space was very, very sorted. And the way he bowled and the initial 10 overs, like the power play period, I mean, like I felt like we were never allowing New Zealand to run away with the game. I mean, like that, like they were always doing that catch up, like both with bowl and bat. I think India never gave them the control. So that I feel started with those initial 10 overs and the openers, and definitely like they had very good openers, right? Like Conway is in great form. And like we have seen, if he gets going, he can take away the match like he did against England, right? So to restrict him quickly and to get his wicket cheaply, that was a big boost. And from that point on, I felt like India never were put in a situation where they were like, we are chasing the game. It was always New Zealand trying to get back into the game. So that has been the narrative. So I felt like that started with those initial 10 overs.
Definitely. I think at any point in the match, it didn't look like India was playing catch up. But there is this one point now, you know, Rachin Ravindra and Darren Mitchell, right? They really didn't, make the loss of those early wickets seem apparent, right? Stitching that commendable partnership, I think they helped New Zealand sail the tricky phase. So how crucial was that partnership in the context of this match? And were you concerned that they would go all the way and we'd see a bigger total on the board?
Absolutely, absolutely. The way they were playing, like Rachin Ravindra and even Mitchell, like it's not only in terms of like they were put in a very tough situation, right? Like they both came into the pitch when it was like 19 for 2. And India was on top. The bowling was firing on all cylinders. And first, the other aspect is the pitch was very difficult. It's not like a traditional like wicket that we are used to in India, right? Like in Dharamshala, there is always something for the pacers. The pitch is slightly on the slower side when it comes to the spinners. And like all the Indian bowlers are in great form, right? Like Ravindra Jadeja, Kuldeep Yadav, like Bumrah. So like you are not given any breather at any point in time with this Indian team. And the way Ravindra and Mitchell, one, they were able to build that partnership. And even if you look, the most interesting aspect of that partnership was the way they handled the Indian spin bowlers. I mean, like they were completely dominating Indian spinners at one point in time. Like I was reading this stat and I think Mitchell scored some 43 runs of Kuldeep in just 28 balls. And like Kuldeep has having a stellar tournament this World Cup. Like other teams are not able to figure his googly, his angles because he's a left armer. And like the way Mitchell used the crease, the way he was able to play on the front foot, the way he was able to give himself space and use his back foot. I mean, like it clearly shows that this New Zealand team has so many different dimensions. Like even like Ravichin Ravindra, I mean, like he started a bit slowly, but then gradually as he grew in confidence, he started dominating. And at one stage, I seriously felt like I think the score was like they were like 170 for 2. I think that is when Ravindra got out. And like at that point, it looked like they'll definitely score around 290 to 300. And if that was the score, it could have been a very tricky encounter for India.
Absolutely. Because if you look at their dismissals, the rest of the New Zealand batting really didn't stand up, right? It was quite forgettable in that sense. So do you think it's concerning for them that their batting kind of really hinges on the openers and like, you know, the early middle order to fire to ensure there's some runs on the board?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, so this time, I mean, like I was also going through New Zealand's track throughout the tournament. So like one is like they, like this is one of their true big tests so far in the tournament, because the first game was against England, which is again a good test, but they came out flying with flying colors. But then they played Bangladesh, Afghanistan, which are two very good teams. And they have shown in the World Cup, like you cannot take any team lightly now in the ICC World Cup tournaments. But I mean, like with India, I think they were tested in each and every department for the entire stretch of 100 overs. So that is the kind of test that they were put to. And you rightly mentioned, like, I mean, like, if you look at the current track record, it's Conway, Ravindra, and Darryl Mitchell. These are the three players. They're doing the bulk of scoring for New Zealand. There was some good innings played by, I think, Glenn Phillips in one of the matches. But if you look at Tom Latham, Mark Chapman, even Santner, so I mean, like, they are good, but they'll not be able to deliver in crunch situations. That's the impression which is coming out so far. Like, it could change with any encounter. And also, I would like to bring one more aspect. Like, I was looking at it, and I felt like they definitely missed Kane Williamson in this match. Because against an opponent like India, you need that experience, and he bats in a very critical, that third or fourth. So in a way, he also anchors the entire New Zealand innings. So I felt like although like Rachin and Mitchell were able to build a partnership, but if you look at even their innings, like Mitchell, I think, lost the entire momentum. Like, as he approached his 100, like, he played a lot of dot balls, and he was just taking singles, and that kind of took away the momentum from New Zealand. And that is where I feel a player like Williamson has that kind of maturity, has been in these big moments, and against a side like India, like, I mean, like, because India is not going to give you any freebies. So I definitely feel like they definitely need Kane Williamson in the knockout stages.
Definitely, and I think New Zealand is certainly missing him a lot, but in his absence, I think Tom Latham is doing quite a decent job, marshalling the troops and if efficiently using all the resources at his disposal. Now, I think here we need to give due credit to the Indian bowling as well, right? Now, Shami, the comeback man, slotting in so perfectly in that bowling setup. So how brilliant was that to see, that the man has been in such great form, yet he's been sidelined from the team because he's not fitting in the scheme of things. But coming back and immediately making a mark certainly augurs well for India, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, like, right now, I think Rohit Sharma and Rahul Dravid have the choice of plenty. Like, they have so many good players. All of them are in good form. You give them one chance, they are delivering. And like, it's a good problem to have, honestly. But I definitely feel like the way Mohammad Shami has performed in this game, I mean, like, kudos to him. Like, he was bending his back, the pace, the line, the length, the wrist position. Like, I was looking at the match, and like, the way like, he was holding the seam position, everything was perfect. Like, this is the kind of match you play when you are given one chance and then you take a fiver. Like, with every ball, I felt like he was asking the question to the selectors, "You are keeping me on the bench, right?" with a question mark. So, I mean, like, Shami was absolutely spectacular. I think he ran through their entire tail end. So, I mean, like, you need a performance like that against a team like New Zealand, because you rightly mentioned, like, Mitchell and Rachin at that point in time were taking the game away from us. And that spell by Shami, and then Bumrah, like, Bumrah is like Mr. Consistent now. So, like, the more you say about him, it's always less. But with Shami, and like, if you look at the fitness, I mean, like, the way he was fielding, like, if you look, like, typically we have seen this, right? Like, the pacers and all, they exert so much energy while bowling, it takes a toll on their fielding. But kudos to their fitness, like, the way they fielded, the way they were diving around, saving those extra runs. I mean, like, hats off to Shami for the amount of work that he has put in, and the kind of improvement that he has shown in terms of his fitness is spectacular, and it shows in his bowling also.
Definitely, at one point when he was sidelined, we thought, his ODI career was done. But the way he has managed to reinvent himself, make himself relevant, I think it's, nothing short of a fairy tale. So I hope he's able to maintain this purple patch and, contribute for India in the coming games as well, if he's given a go.
Absolutely.
And another man, who has again impressed us through, this year has to be Kuldeep Yadav, right? His upward surgency has really caught our attention. Now, scalping two wickets in this match, he really made his presence felt, and he reinforces the fact that we need the spinner, in the mid overs who can get us those quick wickets. So, how happy are you with Kuldeep's form and, really not making us miss Chahal as much?
Yeah. I mean, like Kuldeep Yadav. I mean, like he's 28 now, and I think like as an athlete, right? Like you reach that stage in your career where you are at that absolute peak, right? Like in terms of physical attributes and also the mental side of the game, because he's a spinner, right? So as spinners, there is a lot more to the mental aspect of the game, right? Like the way you spin, the variations, you have to continuously reinvent, because right now, like there are 27 cameras which are there on you every time. So very quickly, your opponent is going to figure the variations. So you have to continuously reinvent line, length, variations, angles, trajectories. And on that front, I mean, like I feel Kuldeep Yadav is right now at that stage where he's like, he has mastered everything in his head. Like his head is clear, he knows what is the task at hand, and he executes, he has those variations, he studies his opponents really well. I mean, like the two wickets that he took against Australia, like the way he got them and the timing of it, like he took them at those critical moments. So, like, I mean, like it's a blessing for us to have Kuldeep Yadav in this kind of form. And I mean, like his journey is going to be upward. And very interestingly, like I was reading an interview about Kuldeep Yadav. So, like if you remember, right, like in 2021, he had a knee surgery. And at that point in time, everybody was telling him, like, you need to bowl fast, because if you bowl slow, like you are getting picked up by the players, by the batters. So it's easy to pick you up, it is easy to score runs on your bowling. So he was like, he was very candid in that interview. And he said that, like, everybody was telling me to bowl fast, but nobody was able to decode how can I bowl fast? I mean, as a spinner, what is that pace that I should develop? And then, like, during his, like, he did his injury, and then, uske baad, like, he had that surgery. And then he was under the observation of Ashish Kaushik, who is our physio. And then, physio helped him understand, like, you have to put less load on your right leg. And that is what I think the tactical adjustment that he had made, which has now given him that kind of edge. Like, he's able to bowl fast, he's able to still spin the ball and bowl fast. So, like, it's very difficult now for batters to pick him up, and it spins at the right pace. So, I mean, like, Kuldeep Yadav is like a revelation, and I would wish that he stays in this team, and he has that ability, right? Like, he can bowl in T20 format, he has the capability to bowl in 50 overs, he has that tenacity, and that like he is that hungry, right? So he wants to go for test match also. And plus, the best part is, like, you rarely see a left-handed leg spinner. So that makes it even more difficult, right? Like, his googly would spin differently. He has a different angle for the batters to pick. He has different variations in the spin and everything. So all in all, it becomes very difficult for the batters to pick him up. And that, I think, is working for him right now.
Absolutely. And I hope, as you rightly said, he continues this purple patch so he's still in the team, because I think his flexibility and adaptability, to certain match situations really makes him that clutch player we want in the side at any cost, right? And single-handedly managing that spin department with Jadeja, of course, it's great
Yeah.
signs for us in these subcontinent conditions.
Just one point on Kuldeep Yadav. I mean, like, also, I mean, like, you must be watching the match, right? So you could see that he was hit for multiple sixes. Like, so in the previous matches, Kuldeep Yadav has never been attacked by the batters, right? But in this match, both Mitchell and Rachin made it a point to attack Kuldeep Yadav in the very early part of his over. Like, in the first, second ball only, they'll step out and try to hit him. And they were successful in connecting. But look at the temperament and confidence of Kuldeep right now. So when he came back again in the spell, he was able to recover. Like, it's not like it, like, usually if you see when a bowler is hit in the initial part of his spell, it takes a toll, right? And like, it impacts their performance throughout the match. But I think with Kuldeep, he figured it out. He made those in-game adjustments as you were talking about. And then he was still able to deliver, like, in the final part of the match. He was still very clinical. So, like, kudos to him for that, also for making those in-game adjustments, for not allowing a couple of bad overs or bad deliveries to impact your entire game. Because it's very difficult, right? Like once you are being attacked, then maybe like it takes a toll and your entire run rate and everything goes for a toss. But I mean, like Kuldeep Yadav was able to do that. And I definitely feel like as we go into the deeper end of the tournament, there will be matches or there will be spells when a batsman might attack you because all the batsmen are also reading your game. The think tank is working in 24/7 to figure him out. So there will be stretches, but I think his temperament and his ability to make those in-game adjustments is going to be very, very critical for us.
Definitely. And I think it's this ability of his to, you know, bounce back that really sets him apart. And I hope he can keep that momentum going through the World Cup as well. And again, you know, looking at this match now, restricting New Zealand to 273, I think for a lot of us was like, huh, I think India will easily chase this down. But somewhere, do you think that, you know, this 273 was a competitive total and somewhere, you know, New Zealand could have actually posted a bigger total to make it, you know, a spicier game or considering, you know, how New Zealand has been going in this World Cup, you thought, hey, you know, they can actually apply some pressure and let's see where this match goes.
Absolutely. I mean, like, I felt like this game is like a classical 50-over game. Like, I mean, like, we hear these debates and all, right? Like, where people say ki, because of T20, like, the relevance of 50-over is dying out. And, like, but, like, if you look at the 50-over format, it's so beautiful. Like, there are so many, there is, every time a team is down, there is an opportunity for the team to come back. And, like, say, for example, in a T20, if a batsman performs really well, he can take away the game away from you in a span of 10 overs. And like you have to say goodnight and come back for the next match. But in a 50 over format, like that's the beauty. Like if you look at the number of momentum changes that have happened, like initially India were on top 19-2. We felt like New Zealand is under deep waters. And then from that situation, two batters were able to stitch a brilliant partnership. They took the attack to India. And at one stage, it definitely looked like it'll be a 300 plus score. And in Dharamshala, under lights, it'll be a tough nut. And then if you look at the last 10 overs and the way our bowlers bowled, like they restricted them to only 54, took 6 wickets. So it was another momentum change. So like when I was looking at like New Zealand out for 273, I felt like India has done a terrific job. And in terms of gathering that momentum, like when we entered into the dressing room for the like the mid innings break, definitely India would be super confident. But I also had one thing in the back of my mind, like with the hallmark of this New Zealand team is that their pace bowling is spectacular and they have always done really good against India and the fielding, like because we have seen like the Kiwis, like they will save extra 30-40 runs just by diving. So I just had that, like it's a good score, they may be able to defend it, but I was like it's a 70-30 I would say at that stage.
Yeah, that's true. And when you dissect the run chase as well, now India had this electric start, right? Rohit Sharma gave that much needed impetus to the innings. So somewhere, do you think that was the perfect start that India was definitely looking for in a run chase like this? That could get tricky because you know how the Dharamshala pitch can get, you know, as the run chase progresses with the dew and the outfield being so, let's call it tricky. So how would you assess that start?
No, absolutely. I mean, like if you look at the track record also, right? Like every time, whenever New Zealand versus India, they have played Trent Bolt and Matt Henry, the two pacers from New Zealand, they have been in spectacular form and they have posed a lot of difficulties to like both Rohit Sharma, Shubman Gill, even Virat Kohli. And like, if you look at the New Zealand team, like, they have a very balanced bowling attack. Like they have good paces. And then they also have Santner. He's like one of the very good bowlers, great in terms of spin. And he's again that left arm spinner. So he causes difficulties. He has taken a number of times Virat Kohli out. So like I felt like they also have a very good bowling unit. As a unit, they are good. Like they also hunt in packs. So from that lens, I think the start that Rohit Sharma has been able to give us in this match becomes even more important. And also, like, I feel that the way Rohit Sharma is playing right now, it is having a very positive domino effect to anybody coming after him also. So, for example, he starts in such an aggressive manner. He puts the opposition already on defense. And then even if he is getting out, after that, he lays that platform. And on that, you can build some really good score. So from that lens also, I felt like Rohit Sharma is very good. And the kind of start he is giving us is very critical.
Definitely. And because of the way Rohit Sharma has been playing, you know, it is kind of overshadowing his partner, Shubman Gill, who hasn't probably had, you know, the best possible World Cups that we were thinking. I mean, of course, we acknowledge that the dengue that, you know, affected him before the World Cup could, you know, have a say. But he hasn't had that perfect knock as yet. So do you think it's concerning or are we reading into this way too early and we need to give Shubman Gill that space and time to come into his own?
I think like it's a mix of both, honestly, for me. I mean, like on one side, I feel like, see, we have four more group games and then it's the knockout. So like the best time for him to fire is right now because then it'll give us complete confidence. Like all our batters are in great touch and they have runs under their belt. But having said that, I also worry a little because right now, if you see the bulk of the critical scoring, like if you look at, like, as you mentioned, right, like the kind of start that Rohit Sharma has given us has changed the complexion of the chases, right? And then you have Virat Kohli who is anchoring the innings and finishing it. So like for me, I feel like Shubman Gill has to fire because if there is a match where Rohit Sharma doesn't click or if Virat Kohli gets out early, then we need to have that another batter. And I think in the present team, there are some really good batters. I mean, like Shreyas Iyer is great. KL Rahul has played a spectacular knock in the first match against Australia. But I still feel like that Shubman Gill has to have that statement game where, like, because like when Shubman Gill dominates the game, he is not, he also has that longevity. Like he will not be, like he can score at will even in 35th over. So he has that kind of, like, he doesn't need, like, he can only score in power play or he can only score with the new ball. He has that ability to clear grounds, to clear, to launch into attacks even in the deeper stretches of the match. So that kind of batsman like we have in Shubman Gill, and I definitely feel like if he clicks in the coming matches, that will be a significant boost. And more than the boost for the Indian team, because right now the Indian team is clicking. But I think it's a psychological boost even against the opponent, because the opponent now knows that this guy is again back in form. So, like, I mean, like, who to handle? Like, there is Rohit Sharma, he is firing. Then you have Virat Kohli, who is playing like he sees the football right from the day, like, right from ball one. So that's the kind of focus with which he's playing. And then you have Shubman. So, I mean, like, I would definitely want him to click. And, like, we have some tough games, right? Like, we have England next. I don't know if it is tough or not after today's match. But definitely a world-class opposition. Then we have South Africa. So, like, in either of the two matches, if Shubman Gill performs, that will be a significant boost.
Absolutely. Now, that's actually a valid point, you know, having Shubman Gill, one of the batters, you know, who was coming into this World Cup with that purple patch sans the illness. Irrespective of that, I think India's batting also hinges largely on Virat Kohli, right? Now, he has been the backbone for far too long. And I think this World Cup also kind of reinforces that, you know, his performances have been phenomenal and he has reiterated the same. So what are your thoughts on Virat Kohli, the batter, and his presence in that middle order?
I mean, like, Virat Kohli, like, there are so many, like, he's like someone who becomes so dangerous when it comes to chases. Like, we, as we all know, like, he's the chase master. I think he has a phenomenal record of, like, scoring centuries while chasing. Like, 37, I think, is the number, that number of centuries he has scored while chasing, if I'm not wrong. And out of them, like, on 36 occasions, I think we have won. So that's like every time we are chasing, and if Virat Kohli clicks, it's victory for Team India. So, like, that's the kind of assurance, that's the kind of confidence. And like, I'll give you a small example. I mean, like, imagine, like, he's like 34, 35 right now. Like, and like, he is doing it. Like, he did a spectacular chase against Bangladesh where he fielded for 50 overs, then batted almost for 35 to 40 overs. I don't know the exact number of overs, but like the entire match. So it's like technically he's active on the field on top of his game for 90 to 95 overs. And then to replicate the same again in a span of a couple of days and do it entirely. I mean, like, I'm just talking about the physical aspect of it right now. Like, that man has trained his body, has trained his mind, his focus levels, his discipline. And like, if you are training so hard, like, you remember, right, all these great legends, like, be it Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, anybody, like even Novak Djokovic right now, like, they all say the same thing, that it's like the whatever they are doing on the match day is half or even less than what they actually do in practice. And like, for like, if you look at the way Virat Kohli is playing, the way he maintains his body, the hydration level, everything, like, in a way, these all things add up, and that is when you get a legend like Virat Kohli, and that is when you get performances like this. Like, even in, yes, in that New Zealand match, if you look, it was not like Virat Kohli started with a banger, like he's scoring four sixes. It was not like that. He was quietly making his runs. Bulk of his scoring was through singles, doubles. And gradually he picked pace. Whenever it was needed, he took a calculated risk. So that's like his brain. He understands the requirement of the match, the situation, the scenario, and then he plays it as per that. And like, he knows when to push the accelerator. He knows when to slow down. Because if you remember in this match, we were in a crunch situation, right? Like, after the run out of Surya Kumar Yadav, it was like 5 down and we still needed 80 odd runs. And if that partnership breaks, then it's the tail end which gets exposed. So it was not like it was a very easy situation to bat in. But like, if you look at Virat Kohli, the way he managed that situation and the way he also guided Ravindra Jadeja, supported him, was regularly talking to him. So all these small things, all these softer aspects, like, all of them add up. And unfortunately, I mean, like, it was definitely a well-deserved century, but just he missed out on that. But I mean, like, for Virat Kohli, it's like his physical presence, his mentality, like, he has that beast mentality in him. Like, you know that he's not going to let you down. He's not going to let India lose till the time he's on the crease. And I mean, like, the opposition also knows it. So, I mean, like, it's great. And the best part is, like, Virat Kohli is stepping it up at the right time. Like, if you look at the Asia Cup, he was in good nick. He was scoring 50s. Prior to that, he was in an on and off kind of form. But now he has clicked at the right moment. Like, it is the World Cup, all the important games, and he plays in that critical number three position. So, like we are lucky and we are privileged, honestly, to see a legend like him on the top of his game, like, at this stage, and we are able to see him perform in every single match.
Definitely. I mean, you couldn't have summed this up perfectly, right? Virat Kohli has been an asset to this ODI setup for far too long, and people have taken him for granted and, you know, written him off during his tough phases. But I think it's performances like this in crunch situations, and that statistic you mentioned, you know, of how most of his centuries have come in these high-pressure run chases, really goes to show what a player he is and the caliber. You know, these are just once in generation players that we get to witness. And as you said, you know, we are really privileged to, you know, see him go all guns blazing for Team India every single time he steps out, you know, with the kind of,
yeah, absolutely. And the best part is, like, he's doing it the right way. I mean, like he's the hardest worker. Like, you can see it in his body language, the way he feels. The running between the wickets, like, that is one aspect. Like, if you think of Virat Kohli, I mean, like, the way he runs between the wickets, and he pushes the partners also. Like, so it's like he is pressurizing the fielders, he's pressurizing the bowlers, he has all the shots in the book, but still the running between the wickets, the amount of importance he's putting into that shows that he's playing it the right way, which is like you understand, right? He is grinding every single innings. It's not like it's coming easily to him. He also has patches. Like, if you look at the stats, even in this match, in the initial 28 runs, he scored a 47 balls. So, like, the New Zealand attack was good. They were bowling good deliveries. They know the importance of his wicket. And he did not take any risk. Like, the other aspect of Virat Kohli is the ability to take calculated risks. Like, rarely we have seen Virat Kohli throwing away his wicket because of a loose shot. Like, he puts a price on his wicket. The opposition has to get him out. He is not going to give it to you cheaply. And like that, those are the things which makes him such a wonderful cricketer, such a big athlete. It is all these smaller aspects, these softer nuances of his game. And the sad part is because he's doing it for past 10 years, 15 years. So we kind of expect that's normal, but that's not normal. I mean, like, that's like once in a decade kind of player can do it every single day when the lights are on.
That's actually so true. And now many people, you know, slam Virat Kohli for being way too selfish, you know, for chasing milestones, in, especially this game, and not focusing on the larger good of, you know, the team's win. So what are your two cents on this discourse? Because at any given point, it looked like he was frustrated more with, you know, not being able to get the runs for his team rather than chasing that 100. So what did you make of it?
I think, honestly, I mean, like, for Virat Kohli, I definitely feel like he is, like, putting India on his back. And he has won us so many games. Like you go to the statistics, you go to the moments. He plays for Team India. He plays, like, he has made a mindset change. Like, if you look at the playing, the way the athletes are these days in India, kudos to Virat Kohli. He brought this, like, there were players before him who were super fit. But I think this entire cultural change that we see in our team right now, I think it was started by Virat Kohli. Obviously, other players bought into his vision and put in the hard yards. But I think it was started by Virat Kohli. And I mean, like we all know, right? Like, there are people who are going to pull you down when you're so successful, when you're performing on every single frontier. But I definitely don't buy into that discourse. And I strongly feel like people like Virat Kohli, Cristiano Ronaldo, I think it's their personality. I mean, like, you will love him, you will hate him, but you can't ignore him. And I think, like, it's that kind of personality. He has that chip in his shoulder. He will celebrate his heart out. He'll give it back with interest. I think, like, all of that makes Virat Kohli what Virat Kohli is, and he brings excitement for us, like, for viewers, for anybody. Like, if Virat Kohli is playing, you're not going to leave that room. Like, be it a test match, be it a one-day international, be it T20, if he's fielding, you're not going to leave. So he has that kind of presence. Like, he's a strong personality, and it's normal. Like, people with strong personality, not everybody is going to be happy with him. So it's just part, but I'm sure, like, the number of people who love him are like 1,000 times more than the people who feel that he's very individualistic and a bit selfish. But I don't think he's selfish. What do you think?
Definitely. Even I don't think he is selfish, because on, like, a number of occasions, we've seen how he's put himself, you know, ahead of anything else. And that has always been for the larger good of the team. And, you know, prioritizing wins for the team has always been his aim, at least from what I have seen in, you know, his career that has spanned for so long as well. So then I don't buy into this discourse entirely. And I feel his frustration largely stems from not being able to finish the game rather than, you know, getting to that 100. Because I think he's reiterated multiple times that, you know, winning for India is more important than getting that 100 or, like, you know, breaking the next record. I think that is secondary and winning is more important. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like, and he's 34. Like, he's definitely going to play. Like, the way his body is performing, it's like he'll definitely break that record and all the other records that a batsman can set. So, I mean, like, for him, it's not like if it is not this game, he'll do it in some other game. So, I don't think he's chasing these records. He's chasing a World Cup. Like, that's his goal.
Exactly. And now, you know, we've spoken so much about Rohit Sharma and Virat Kohli being such important cogs in that wheel, you know, when you look at any run chase or even the batting department at large. Now, with Shreyas Iyer and KL Rahul as well, now India's middle order seems to be in good stead, right? But somewhere it is after their dismissals that, you know, you suddenly feel the pressure fall on the lower middle order. And that's where, you know, in this match specifically, you had Jadeja who was holding one end as Kohli was battling on the other. So, what do you think of this situation where, you know, wickets falling and the pressure falling on the lower middle order?
Yeah, like, I feel that at that stage, if, say, for example, if Virat Kohli was out, then I think it would have been serious test for Ravindra Jadeja and the lower middle order, like the tailenders, how Jadeja can play with the tailenders, which he has done in the past. He has won us many games. But in this World Cup, I think because of the dominant form that the top three are in, like in India, like right now, I think Ravindra Jadeja did not get those many occasions and opportunities. So I think this was a good, like, it's a blessing in disguise. Like, I don't want KL Rahul and Shreyas Iyer to get out. But I felt like Jadeja's unbeaten 39 in this case would have done him a world of good. Like, because he also had some match time and he was doing a chase and against a world-class opposition like New Zealand, they had good bowlers, they were applying pressure. It was a tough situation in which he walked in. So I feel it's good for India that he's tested. In fact, I feel that he should be promoted up the order just to get some match time with the bat. In the subsequent matches, if the situation permits, if he already have secured the number one place in the points table, then definitely I think he should be given some more match time.
Yeah, I think that is something India can definitely experiment with to, you know, see the batting depth as well. And now with Hardik Pandya also being ruled out, you know, for a couple more matches to tend to that injured ankle of his, I think this is something that can be definitely taken into consideration. Now, even New Zealand's bowling, right? Defending that 273 could have been tricky because Rohit Sharma gave that amazing start. So what are your comments on the New Zealand bowling? And somewhere did you feel that they were already under pressure, so they weren't able to deliver their best?
I mean, like, I felt like New Zealand bowling was good. Like the hallmark, I feel, of New Zealand team is, like, they're great at creating a strategy as per the requirements of the match and then executing it to perfection. So if you look at the bowling figures, like Trent Bolt or Matt Henry, they had decent figures. Like if you look at the current format, they averaged at 6 and over, so which is not that bad. Also, even like if you look at Santner, he's like one of the bowlers of the tournament. He's taking wickets and he has only gone for 37 runs. He has bowled a maiden to Rohit Sharma. What I felt was missing is like their fourth and fifth bowling option. That is where I think the opposition could take advantage. Because like right now, like I think they have good bowlers. Like Rachin Ravindra has bowled good. Loki Ferguson is also good. But I think somewhere the opposition is targeting their fourth and fifth bowling option, which I think New Zealand definitely needs to address because they also have some tough encounters now. Like they'll be playing Australia next, then they have a game against South Africa, and both of them are in good form, batting form. So that is where maybe their fourth and fifth bowling options will be exposed. Because see, the other part is like India also was very calculative. Like if you look at Virat Kohli or all the other batters, they were very clear that we will not take risk against strength bolt, or we will not take unnecessary risk against Sankner. We'll play their overs out. Mm-hmm. We'll score at run a ball and we'll then attack the fourth and fifth bowler. So from that lens, I feel like New Zealand has to find someone who can give them, like they already have, but somehow I feel the opposition is targeting their fourth and fifth bowlers.
Definitely. And I think they would want to look into this aspect going ahead as well. Now, India will, I think, take a lot of confidence, right? Now, this is a win versus New Zealand. And, you know, there are still some areas that they would want to look into and also, you know, reflect on the positives. So what is that looking like for you?
So in terms of positives, I think like obviously Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma's form, like these are the two most experienced batters in our side. And if they are performing, it reflects in their body language. It reflects on the captaincy of Rohit Sharma. He's super aggressive. He's very confident. And like that's the best version of Rohit Sharma. Like even if, when we have seen like when he plays for IPL franchise in Mumbai Indians, like when he's scoring runs, then he becomes a different captain altogether. So right now that is a big plus for us. And of course, like Virat Kohli has been the anchor. He's doing what he's supposed to do, being at the number three and the most successful batter. So he's doing his job. So that's a big plus. But I also feel like the bowling form of our current bowlers, I mean, like that's spectacular. And touch wood, like I would want them to continue this form. Like Jasprit Bumrah is bowling spectacularly. He doesn't give any chance. He can, and the ability of Bumrah to come and either get a breakthrough or put pressure on the batsman at any stage of the game. So he can bowl during power play. He can bowl with the new ball. He has the reverse swing. He can bowl in the death. So like that's the versatility that Jasprit Bumrah offers in any team that he walks into. So that's like a big plus. Plus Mohammad Shami's form, we'll have to be very interesting how the think tank fits him in now, because he has taken a 5-wicket haul, and like the current, the kind of form that he's in, it's very difficult to ignore him. Plus like there are some good pluses also in terms of like, if you look at Shubman Gill, like obviously his batting is not at the level that at which we are accustomed to. But like think of it, like he has been diagnosed with dengue, and we know how a serious impact it has, like completely breaks your body. There's a lot of weakness. But you look at Shubman Gill's fitness, like he has fielded for all the 50 overs in the entire match. So that way he's fit. It is just that he needs some runs in the bat. And also, I feel that like going forward, if you can try out, like give more match time to Ravindra Jadeja, Shreyas Iyer, KL Rahul, just to like keep them also busy, keep them also in the thick of things. So that I think is important. Also, like a minor thing, I think like we have dropped a couple of catches in the New Zealand game. So that is something which I feel like in a crunch match, like if you look at like we dropped, I think Mitchell and Rachin at the very initial stretch of their batting. So like if we had latched on to those opportunities, maybe New Zealand could not have even scored 273. So like as we are entering into the knockout part of the tournament, I think these are the small things. If we fine tune, then I think it'll be very difficult to beat this team.
So actually very true. And there's also, you know, this chatter that because this is a home World Cup, things are coming very easy for India. The travel seems more feasible. The way the matches are spaced also, you know, seems very much in line with how it would suit the team. But I think that's how it is for any team that's hosting a home World Cup. And India doesn't have that extra advantage, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And like, if you look at the, I was listening to some expert, and they were also discussing on a similar topic. And they said that the Indian team has the most number of games in different venues. So technically, they are traveling the most in between the matches. So that way, I feel like the Indian team has to exist, adapt in every single match because they are playing in maximum new venues. So from that lens, I don't feel there's an edge for India. Definitely, I mean, like, because like this is our home grounds, so we know the conditions way better. We have played, but I think that now has also evened out, like because of IPL and all. I mean, like if you look at Mitchell, say for example, for New Zealand, like he has been playing in IPL for last 3-4 seasons. So he and every team, like most of the teams, have so many players who are coming and performing at IPL. They have played in IPL. They are now used to the conditions. They know how the pitches would perform. So I don't think that's like a big advantage that it used to be in the previous World Cups, where like you're going and playing it in a very alien condition. I think that's not the scenario now. Like if you look at South Africa, if you look at New Zealand, the way they are playing spin, I mean, like previously they were not so good batters of spin, but I think now they have acclimatized to the situation. They know the pitch, they know the bowlers, they have played against them in IPL, and that is why we can see like they're so comfortable. Like the other day, David Warner, the way he played, it looked like he's playing in Melbourne. So I don't think like there's a big difference now, honestly. It's just that on the given day, the team which is executing better, has the better plans, better set of players, they're winning the matches, honestly.
Yeah, that's actually true. And New Zealand would, I think, you know, not look into this loss very seriously, because it happens, right? You have that momentum with 4 wins and then you play against a class team like India. So what are some of the areas that you think New Zealand would look to, you know, work from this match and can't write them off, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, like for New Zealand, I think the next encounter with Australia is going to be very critical and very interesting, because like for New Zealand, they started this World Cup with a bang. They were winning and then they lost a match, and now they are pitted against Australia, their like rivals, right? And Australia did not have a fairy tale World Cup up until this moment. Like they had some off games, then they came back and won convincingly against Pakistan. And now they see themselves in a position where now they are in charge, and like the typical Australian mindset is now kicking in. So it's a tough match. And I definitely feel like the next encounter between New Zealand and Australia is going to have a serious like impact on the way both the teams would then perform going forward. So it's an important game for New Zealand. And like in terms of, I think the fixes, I think their batting order, like definitely the lower middle order is not clicking right now. Like they cannot win matches on their own. So if there is a crunch situation, I don't think they can rely on their fourth, fifth, sixth options. After Mitchell, they don't have that kind of solidity, at least on the face of it. Secondly, definitely Kane Williamson's injury. Like if he's back, that will definitely be a big boost, because he adds that dimension, he adds that confidence, that calmness into this New Zealand team. And also, I think they also need to figure their fourth and fifth bowler, because right now they're heavily reliant on the top three bowlers. But like something has to click for the fourth and fifth bowling option for those 10-20 overs.
Absolutely. And New Zealand, again, you know, is one team that will, I think, make it to the semi-final as well. You know, the way they've been going, and this loss will definitely not derail their entire campaign. It's just an aberration. Now, India next plays England, right, on the 29th, which is a match that a lot of us are looking forward to. So what are some of the key matchups that you think that you're fancying, and any predictions for this match?
Honestly, I mean, like Neha, I thought England to be one of the favorites before the World Cup started, with the kind of form and the way they played, and the entire aspect of like playing aggressive cricket, scoring runs, being so reliant on their batting. But I don't know, something is off, like for England. Like I'm not, like even the experts are kind of shocked at the way they have performed so far. Like they have won only single match. And like even if you look into today's match versus Sri Lanka, I mean, like England was all out for 156 in 33 overs. I mean, like I don't know what to say, how they are playing, they are making so many changes. Their bowling unit is not clicking, which many people said, but they were very reliant on their batting order. And the sad part is that for England, their openers, the top three, like Joe Root is not clicking. Bairstow is not in the best of the form. Injury to Ben Stokes. So all in all, they look very, very out of sorts. And they're not in the right frame of mind to take on India, honestly. Like this is the worst time for them to go and play against India in India when India is in this kind of form, honestly. So honestly, I don't see them doing a lot of damage to India because they're not in the right frame of mind, like from a performance standpoint. But I would be very curious to see how Ben Stokes, Joe Root, these are the two players, because they have traditionally been very good when they play against India. Like Joe Root, he plays spin really well. He has great temperament. He plays long innings. But right now in that number three position, he's not able to play. And for Ben Stokes, it's an on and off. Like he was injured. He played for some games. Then he was out. So and like against India, he typically performs. And if Ben Stokes performs, then like it adds that kind of balance and that kind of fire into England team with his performance. So those are the two players for me who would be playing a key role. But on the Indian front, I'm like, I want to see how like one Shubman Gill performs, because I think even the think tank feels that if he gets a ton or some good runs under his belt, it'll give him a lot of confidence. So one is that, like how Shubman Gill is performing, because the other aspects we are already taking care of. It's just that Shubman Gill, he plays in a very critical position. He's like opening the batting. So if he gets going, it'll be a big plus. And he has shown some flashes also. Like even in this match, he played, he was beaten on a couple of occasions, but he did not allow it to impact his batting. He did not play any rash shots. So that way, it's not like he's in back touch. It is just that like he has not scored a big innings. So for me, I think I'll be very curious to see how Shubman Gill performs. And also, do the selectors fit in Mohammad Shami? Because now we are playing in Lucknow. So, or do they bring in Ashwin and add a spinner? Or like, how do they, like, do they want to experiment? Or do they want to stick to their winning combination? So those are the kind of decisions which will be quite interesting, I feel, in this match.
That's actually true. And I think India does have an edge, you know, coming into this match, because England really is like not looking their finest right now, is for the lack of a better word, I'm going to use finest. But I think, yeah, we will nevertheless get to see a great encounter. And here's, you know, keeping our fingers crossed to see that match.
Absolutely.
And even as we reach the end of our discussion, do you have any final thoughts, words of wisdom, or even a message for our listeners?
So thank you so much, Neha, for having this discussion. It was quite interesting. And I definitely feel like we are very fortunate to we are very fortunate to witness India in this kind of form, where they are firing on all cylinders. They are figuring out newer ways to win matches, like the bowling unit, the batting unit, even the fielding is top-notch, world-class, and it's a treat to watch for any Indian fan. So I would definitely say, like, we should watch all the matches, because every match is giving us a lot more to love about this team, and they have peaked at the right time. I mean, like, we knew the caliber of these players, but now they are performing at the highest level in a World Cup. So that's like a big deal. Because like, come to think of it, Neha, I mean, like, India is playing in India, so there is so much pressure on this team, right? Like, everybody expects India to do well. Like, if India is not performing well, even for 10 overs, we will be like getting onto their backs, why are they not performing, are they not focused, etc. So like, to have that kind of pressure wherever they are going and being able to then execute to that level is like absolutely mind-boggling. And also, like, I'm amazed at the bench strength that we have, like, to not have an all-rounder like Hardik Pandya and being able to replace him and then perform the way we did against New Zealand. Like, so, like, we have terrific bench strength, great bunch of players, and like Rohit Sharma, Rahul Dravid, the think tank, they have made a very good environment in the team because it shows, like, the way the boys are, the way they are playing, the way the bench is, the kind of support they are doing, giving each other. So, all of them are very positive signs. So, it's a great time to watch this team perform. And we should support, like we want to get this World Cup, and I think we are on course, and the more we support, the easier it will be for our team.
That's actually so well put, because a home World Cup brings in a lot of pressure, and the way the team has been performing, touchwood, has been nothing short of remarkable. And this ODI template seems to be working well for the team. So we take each game as it comes. And with this comprehensive win against New Zealand, the team really looks like they're in a good space. And I think they will look to carry forward that form, you know, versus a tougher opposition, in this case a beaten opposition like England as well. And we hope to see a great remainder campaign as well. And on that note, I'd like to draw curtains on this discussion. Thank you so much, Anurag, you know, for joining me on the podcast and sharing some remarkable observations. And here's hoping, you know, we can have you back on the podcast, and I will definitely invite you for our YouTube live conversations as well. So until next time, stay safe and take care. Bye for now. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates, and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverInTheBackFoot on Instagram and Threads, and @NeverInTheBack1 on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content, and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season. Never on the Back Foot is now also on YouTube, so don't forget to subscribe to the channel and tune into content there as well. The audio podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters, and many other platforms. So please do spread the word. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.